What makes a family distinctively Christian? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell teaches us how to raise our family for the Lord.
Young people, listen to me this morning. You're a gift to your parents, but your parents are a gift to you. And God gave them to you to teach you and to instruct you. And moms and dads, you might say, well, Pastor Chappell, I want to teach my children and so forth, but they just don't want to hear it. Well, they want to eat your food. They want you to buy sneakers and cell phones. I think they need to sit there and listen when you open God's Word.
At times, life can seem like an endless cycle of hopelessness. In our series, The Difference Jesus Makes, we will discover that no matter what is taking place in our lives, we can always turn to Jesus. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Whatever you may be facing, believe that Jesus understands and has a plan for your life. When we bring our problems to the Lord and trust Him to take care of our needs, He will make a difference in our lives like no one else can. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Families That Make a Difference.
You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26 these words, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And as you study the context of those words, God says you can be frustrated or angry at a problem, but not at a person. Don't get angry at the person, and don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Now listen this morning, men. You show me a man who loves the Lord and he's mature in his faith. You show me a man who's committed to the Word of God and growing in grace towards his wife. A man who knows how to forgive and a man who knows that God has called him to this relationship. And you send that man out of town on business, or you put him in a stressful situation or even a place of temptation, and that man will stand on the Word of God as a mature Christian. But you show me a man who lets bitterness come into his heart. He doesn't read his Bible. He's living apart from his wife in the sense of their relationship. And he's angry at her and she frustrates him, and that builds and builds and builds. That man becomes very vulnerable to temptation. And that's what the Bible means when it says, neither give place to the devil. And when you stay angry at your spouse, you're just saying, here I am, devil. Here's a big target. Take me out. You're giving him place. And God doesn't want you to let the sun go down on your wrath. If you have to humble yourself to the place of coming to get some counseling, or if you have to come to the altar every Sunday morning and weep and ask God to help you and give you strength, I'm telling you, whatever it takes, don't let the devil get place in your relationship. One lady got so frustrated, her husband was always upset and they were always arguing, and she decided one day, she said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a comeback with him. And she did. And he came in and said some things to her, and she said, look, she said, even a broken clock is right once a day. He looked at her and said, twice a day. You know, you just can't please some people. And they're always looking for fault and something that they can bring against you. But God said, I designed marriage to bring biblical companionship. Leaving, cleaving, and weaving. One flesh. That's the first purpose of marriage if we're going to make a difference. Notice secondly now that God designed marriage for biblical communication. And I do not mean here just gibber-gabbing and talking about stuff, but I do mean biblical communication. God designs the home. Whether you're a single parent today or whatever your family status, it is His desire that in the home, biblical truth would be spoken of, that the Bible would be read, that God would be glorified verbally in the home. Now, turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6 as we take the overview of the Christian home today. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. The Bible says these words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God is preparing His children to enter into the promised land. And He is teaching us a vital lesson. And here's the lesson, that God wants the families in the land to be right. As the families go, so goes the nation. And I truly believe this morning there's a lesson for us. from the children of Israel, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see God's interest in the family. Now, God wants the family to speak of His Word and to know His Word. And the local church is vital in the mix of that, in the teaching and preaching and discipling. And a Christian school and Sunday school are helpful. But the baseline for Christian education is to be the home and the family unit. And the words should be, first of all, recited words. God wants the words recited. And let me tell you what I mean by that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, we read something that is called the Hebrew Shema. It is this simple phrase, "The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." The Shema. And this Shema was something that a Jewish person would say every morning at the beginning of their day. The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. It was recited. It was the daily acknowledgement of God being the Lord of their life and of the fact that all of us should love Him with all of our heart. And God wants every family to begin their day, if not with those words, with that same heart attitude toward God and with the Scripture in our heart and in our hand. And please understand, you cannot separate your growth as a Christian from your growth in family life. We must grow individually and then as a family together. And so recited words. Now these recited words are to be hidden in our hearts. The Bible speaks of that in verse number 6. Notice that in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And some of you have learned that verse, Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my what? Heart, that I might not what? Sin against thee." God wants us as parents and as young people to hide the word of God in our heart, to know it and to understand it. And then God wants us to teach those words to our children and to pass it on to the next generation. Notice that in verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Now, moms and dads, I know some of you, that's an awkward concept, but God has given to us an order, and the order is that we are to have the Scriptures prevalent in our home, and we are to teach the Scriptures to our children, and repetition is the key to learning, and the Bible should be the centerpiece of the home when it comes to the knowledge and training that's given to children. One pastor went to visit a family, and he knocked on the door, and a lady came to the door and answered the door, and she was surprised that it was the pastor. And she said to her son, somewhat piously, "Son, go and get the Bible that mommy loves to read. And go and get the book, rather, that mommy loves to read." She wanted him to bring the Bible. He came back a minute later with the TV guide. Now, folks, if the book that you love to read is the TV guide, your children are going to come out something like a ninja fighter and Chuck Norris and who knows what else they're going to act out. Because the fact of the matter is that garbage in is garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. But when the Bible comes in, there's a difference in the way that we live. And God wants each and every home to diligently and with repetition teach the children the Word of God. Now, some of you say, "Well, I don't have a degree in theology and I don't know exactly what to do." And let me just pull over here for just a moment. Dads, let me speak to you. How hard would it be at dinner or at breakfast, whenever you sit down with your family, just to even read a verse? John 3:16, read the Psalms. You say, "Pastor, I have trouble praying for my lunch at Denny's." Well, man, let's go ahead and be men. Let's go ahead and not be ashamed of our Lord. And I understand, sometimes we get a little cotton mouth, we don't exactly know what to say, and it seems harder with teenagers. It's like they're the fount of all knowledge. How could we help them? But you know what they need? They need a dad and a mom that talk about Jesus, talk about the Bible, read a verse. And I just want to encourage you, this is what the Bible speaks about, that we would hide it in our heart and then teach it to our children. And notice there in verse 7, it says that we are to teach diligently. And that's an interesting word study. That word study, diligently, it means to whet and sharpen. As one who's sharpening a knife on a whetstone, God says, "I want you to sharpen your children. I want you to diligently sharpen your children." How many of you know the Bible says in Psalm 127 concerning children, "Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them." Did you know that in the Bible, children are a blessing. Children are the heritage of the Lord. And by the way, don't ever say, "Oh, these children," and bemoan having children. Thank God for your children. They're a gift from God. God says that children are a blessing, and it's a blessing to have your quiver full. Now, you may not want to have eight at once. I understand that. But I also understand that these children are given to us by God, and that God expects us to train them, and God expects us to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And instruction should be a part of the daily routine. Proverbs 4 and verse 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Young people, listen to me this morning. You're a gift to your parents, but your parents are a gift to you, and God gave them to you to teach you and to instruct you. And moms and dads, you might say, "Well, Pastor Chappell, I want to teach my children and so forth, but they just don't want to hear it." Well, they want to eat your food. They want to live at your house. They want you to buy sneakers and cell phones. I think they need to sit there and listen when you open God's Word. And I challenge you today to let the Bible permeate your life. Oh, it's so important that we would have the recited words in our home. And then secondly, the remembered words. Isn't it interesting there in Deuteronomy that he tells them to take the Word of God, and he says, "I want you to post the Word of God." He says, "I want you to place it on the doorpost," there in verse number 8. "Let it be like a frontlet before your eyes," verses 8 and 9. God says, "I want the Bible to be prominent." And in the home of the Orthodox Jew, they would many times, and even today, will take this little artifact called a mezuzah, and they will place it on their doorpost. And I've seen it when I go out door knocking, inviting people to church. And that is symbolic of the Ten Commandments. And it's their way of reminding themselves of the laws of Moses. And it's wonderful to have something on the wall, or the Ten Commandments on the wall, or the Bible on the coffee table. But more than the decoration, we need to adorn our hearts with the Word of God. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And so the purposes of the Christian family, first, God says, "I want you to have biblical companionship." Secondly, God says, "I want you to have biblical communication in your home." And then notice thirdly with me this morning, God says, "I want the family to model my biblical commitment. I want the whole world to know how much I love the church by the way you love one another in the home." Now notice this commitment to helping one another as we turn to Ephesians 5:21. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 21. And here we see God's teachings concerning the commitment in the marriage relationship. Ephesians 5:21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, what kind of commitment does God want us to show and to display in our homes? First of all, he wants us to submit one to another. And notice that in verse number 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." God says, "I want you to support. I want you to submit one to another, each and every one of us under the authority of God." The Bible says that in 1 Peter 5:5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another." And again, someone who lives with Christian grace in their heart is someone who is looking for ways to be a blessing, to prefer someone before themselves, to help someone, to forgive someone. And God says, "I want you to submit one to another. Stop the fighting. Look for ways." And you don't have to fight about whether to go to Taco Bell or McDonald's. Well, maybe you do. Scratch that last one, but some of you maybe do. But God would have us to lay down our opinion and our will and be a blessing. The word submit means to voluntarily surrender our will. And then he says in verse 22 that the wife is to submit herself unto the husband. And we see this verse, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now, it's amazing. I'll quote 50 verses this morning, and some of you men, that's the one you'll remember right there. Wasn't that a good message Pastor brought? Submit yourself to your husband. I listened this morning. Well, fellas, there's a little more to it, but I'm glad you got that one. But let me say this. God's will for a Christian wife is that she would support her husband and submit to her husband. And let me just say a word about that. In matters of role and function, God has simply made a distinction. And God has ordained leadership in the home. And there are absolutely no differences in the intrinsic value or spiritual worth between a husband and wife. That is to say, a wife may even be more spiritual at times in the marriage. But God has ordained order in the family. He's established distinctions in government, church, and in the home. And God is a God of order. And God is simply laying down the order. And let me say this, some of you moms are working moms. And I want to challenge you as a working mom to remember that while you're in a workplace where you must please your employer and so forth, you must be very careful to maintain a loyalty to love and satisfy your husband above all else. That's your first ministry and responsibility towards your husband. And it's vital that a wife sees her ministry to her husband in that way. Now, some husbands, again, they hear this verse and they kind of focus on it in a macho kind of a way. I heard of a husband who was taking his position way too seriously. I mean, he was always barking orders and always trying to win every fight and so forth and creating perpetual conflict. And finally, his wife said to him, she said, honey, I just want to share a little bit with you about my prayer life. She said, I've been praying lately that God would stop all the arguing by taking one of us to heaven. And she said, when he answers my prayer, I'll be moving in with my sister. And so I don't think you want your wife praying that way, fellas. But that was one lady's prayer. And yet God says, I want you to support one another. I want you to have a commitment to support, submitting yourselves one to another. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. And then secondly, there's a commitment to sacrifice. Now notice that in verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, God has created a woman with a great desire in her heart for love and acceptance. And God has created a man with a desire in his heart for respect. And so God says, wives, I want you to show respect to your husband. And husbands, I want you to show love to your wife. Now, years ago, the Beatles had a song that said, love is all you need. First of all, they didn't understand Bible love. And secondly, love is not all that you need. You need love and you need respect and you need obedience to the Word of God. And yet God very specifically says, husbands, love your wives. And let me say that this love that Jesus speaks about, he says, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. And so true love is a selfless love. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. True love is a sacrificial love. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You see, the world's love is always object-oriented. A person is loved because of physical attractiveness, personality, prestige. In other words, the world loves who it deems worthy. And the world loves when there is a characteristic that they can base their love upon. But the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he says, husbands, love your wives the way I love the church, with that sacrificial love, with that unselfish kind of love. It wasn't something that you and I ever earned. And you stop and think about that for a moment. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I didn't deserve God's love. I didn't deserve his grace. I was a sinner, lost and on my way to hell. And yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Do you understand this morning that when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, he bore your sin and mine in his body that day. Every lie we would ever tell, every deed we would ever do that was ungodly, Jesus bore it in his body that day, and Jesus forgave us through his blood. And when the Roman soldiers pierced his hands with those nails, and when they pierced his his feet with the nails, and when the crown of thorns was placed upon his head, and that royal red crimson blood came flowing down. That was the grace of Jesus Christ for you and for me. And if you have never experienced that grace, and if you do not know that if you died today, you would spend eternity in heaven, then I've got some good news for you this morning. That is that Jesus Christ, the perfectly sinless Son of God, lived for 33 and a half years on this earth, was tempted in all points like we are, and yet he was without sin. And the Bible says he went to that old rugged cross and he died there for our sin and forgave us that day and rose up again on the third day that we might have a home in heaven. And if you don't know the love of Christ and the acceptance of God, today should be that day when you would say, you know what? I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve God's love, but I would like to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the Bible says, as many as come to him, he will in no wise cast out. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You and I could stay here the rest of the day, and for all of eternity for that matter, talking about the love of God and the grace of God. And yet when Jesus looked for an illustration concerning how he wants a husband to love his wife, he said, I want you to love her the way that I loved you. That's why when a lady periodically will say to me, well, I just don't think it's fair. I have to submit to him and all he has to do is love me. If we would love the way we're supposed to love, it's a really good deal for the ladies. And fellas, let me tell you something. God wants every one of us to be willing to lay our agenda aside to show love to our wife. Let me illustrate it this way. I am a pastor, as you know, and I thank the Lord for my wife, Terry, and I think about the fact that sometimes as a pastor, I love pastoring. I love studying, and I love my time with the Lord in prayer, and I love to organize things and lead things and get things done for the Lord. But you know, the church is Christ's bride, not my bride. My bride's sitting right there in the fourth pew this morning. And sometimes the Lord has to remind me, this is all really good stuff, but this isn't your bride, this is my bride. I want you to take care of your bride. And some of you guys can get so caught up with your job and climbing your ladder and your hobbies and your good old boyfriends who ought to be in church. You don't need to go with them Saturday. You need to get them in church next Sunday. And you can get so caught up in all of your agenda that you forget to love your wife the way Christ loved the church, you see. And God wants every one of us this morning to come back to his basic purposes for the Christian family. And when we do, we'll make a difference. What are those purposes? God says, I gave you the home for biblical companionship, leaving, cleaving, and weaving, becoming one flesh. He said, I ordained the home to be a place of biblical communication. I want my word to be known and read and loved in your family. And God said, I gave you the Christian home so that it would be a place of biblical commitment, so that when everybody in the world is going bonkers, there will be one place holding together, and that's the family, that there would be a place where children and grandchildren could come and know the security of my love. I want you to love the way that I loved you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for this time to learn how our family life can make a difference. And Lord, once again, I pray that you would make us different so that we could make a difference. And then, Lord, I pray this morning for husbands and wives who need to practice these principles and for children who need to listen to their parents. Lord, I pray if there are those in this room who've never accepted you as their Savior, that today they would know about the love, the grace, and the acceptance of Jesus Christ, and that they would turn to you, Lord, for their salvation and forgiveness today. Lord, speak to every heart in this moment, I pray.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
I encourage you to jumpstart your day with inspirational messages from Pastor Paul Chappell. Sign up now and receive daily devotionals emailed directly to your inbox. Whether you're at home, at the office, or on the go, make God's Word a part of your day. You'll be encouraged, challenged, and energized to grow in your relationship with God every morning. Visit dailyintheword.org and register for your free daily devotionals from Pastor Chappell today.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.